This is our reading for today. And it's going to be a very familiar scriptures, because you hear this read at many funerals. But really, it's not really for that, but it's okay. I mean, it's the word. So Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Verse, starting with verse 1, it's everybody's there at page 894. And we have it on the screen up there too if you need. Okay. We're going to all read it together. I'll say like verse 1, we read it, verse 2, and we'll just go from there. Okay. We're not in a rush. Okay. We'll read the word of God. Amen. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Verse 3. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 4. "Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you would stretch forth your hands towards me as I pray for myself this morning. Thank you. Father, Lord, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. And Father, Lord, I would pray as I submit myself to you that, Lord, that you would help me to preach and teach your word according to how you want it, Lord. Rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord God. Father, I pray a mighty anointing to be upon my life, Lord God, as you have called me to preach and teach your word. And Lord, I pray the anointing and the presence of the Lord to be upon my heart and life this day. And Father, be upon your people to hear your word, and that it would fall upon good ground in their heart and in my heart this day, that it would produce great fruit within our lives. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you would take your Bible, let's make our declaration before him. Say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name we pray." I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 107, page 987. This Thursday, as we know, is Thanksgiving. It's a day that we have set aside in America to thank our God, which is Jehovah God, Him. The pilgrims didn't worship any other God except Jehovah God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To thank Him for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon our church, upon us personally, upon our families, what he has given us in material blessings, what he has given to us spiritually in our lives, what he has given to us in as far as food, and all the things that he has given us this last year. You know, probably every one of us has seen the miracle hand of God work miraculously in all of our hearts and in our lives like we've never seen before. And we look forward to a great God in this next coming year. To thank Him for the many things that He has done, what He has done in our hearts and in our lives. When we think of Thanksgiving, what is the first word that comes to mind? When we think of Thanksgiving, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Food. Might be turkey, pork roast, beef roast. And you're saying, Pastor, please, it's only 11:05. Come on now. You think of all the food that is going to be set before us. And that's blessings. That's blessings of the Lord that God has given unto us. And how thankful we are. I know I look at every one of us in here has a home that we can go to this afternoon. Every one of us has a place, a bed to lay our head tonight in thanking our God for what He's given unto us. We should never become a thankless people. You ever gave somebody something and you give it to them in their hand and they don't even say thank you and you went out of your way to do it for them? How does that make you feel? Horrible. Now, we don't do it to get something. I've always had the thing of when you give something, no matter what it is, it could be food, it could be money, it could be whatever it is. And if God tells you or you feel a feeling on the inside that you need to help or do, don't ever give something with strings attached. Because you never know what the reaction may be. You know, you don't know. It could be a heart of thanksgiving. It could be a heart of, well, thank you, but, you know, whatever. You know, whatever it is. Don't ever have a string attached to it. Of even having a thank you of any kind. Now, as a Christian, you know, God expects us to be thankful because no one has to do anything for us. Right, you know, zero. God doesn't even have to do if He, that's Him. But we, you know, no one upon this earth has to do something for you. They do it out of love, respect, and honor for you. You know, and so we can never become a thankless people to one another, and we can never be a thankless people towards our God in the many things that He has done. And the greatest thing He has ever done was to send His Son for us to die upon Calvary's cross so that you and I could live a life of freedom without having sin attached to us. Because of the freedom that comes from Calvary's cross and what He can do in us and through us. So to be thankful at all times. Psalms 107 verse 1 and 2 it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now let's read it again. It says, it's a really almost a command unto the church of God to give thanks unto the Lord. God is saying, you and I need to give thanks unto Him. Need to give thanks unto Him. Thanking Him. Thanking Him. Thank you, Lord. In whatever capacity, whatever way we need to do it, but to give honor and thanks. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, this last year has been a horror of a year. Well, welcome to the boat. Because we still can be thankful, even though we may go through some difficult times. We still can be thankful. Look at the good of what God is doing. Look at the good of what will come out of that difficult situation. Look at the good of what is happening on the backside of things and how God is purging and moving and helping us to be what He desires and wants us to be. For He is good. We need to remember that. Your God is not an angry God that is ready to hit you. Your God is not an angry God that is sitting on the rocking chair ready to take his staff and destroy you. Now, there is consequences sometimes that will come, but he still punishes or still disciplines in love towards us. He is a good God all the time. He is good unto us. We can expect when we get up in the morning, he's good with us. We can expect when we go throughout our day that he is a good God unto us. Throughout our day, we can even kneel before him, give him praise, and he's there with us. It says that he listens to us. He is attentive to our prayers because he is a good God. We're not walking this life alone at all. We're not walking alone. God is with us, doing what needs to happen in our hearts and in our lives to make things happen. How we need to be thankful unto him. For his mercy endures forever. Praise God Almighty. Thank God for the mercy of God. Do we deserve it? No. But he grants it unto us because of his love towards humanity. No other people have had the privilege that I know of, according to the word of God, that the King of Kings has sent forth his son to die for a people. Never has that ever happened that I know of. Because it doesn't say it in the word. Only upon the earth that God sent his son for us. How thankful we need to be. Think of your life, and I know we don't like to think this. Think of your life without Jesus. That's a scary thought, people. That is a scary thought. Your life and my life without God, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, where would we be? But because of his mercy and grace, it says this in verse 2, and we'll get to, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He didn't say let the unredeemed. People, verse 1 is for the redeemed. Redeemed, that means brought back, bought back by the blood of Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that he is good, and that he is merciful, and that he is kind. Let the redeemed thank their God. Not let the redeemed curse their God, or not let the redeemed doubt their God. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that he is a great God, to thank him for the many things that he has done, will do in the future also. Say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday celebrating the harvest and other blessings of this past year. Praise God. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Page 2078. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. Well, really, let's just start with 5. That's good. It said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Refers to the rapture of the church. We need to remember that. The Lord is at hand. That's why we got to tell people about God. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Presents the cure for worry, which is believing prayer. With thanksgiving. Takes in all God has done for us in the past, what he's going to do in the present, and shall do in the future. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful, verse 6, for nothing, but in prayer, everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, be thankful to your God for what he has done, what he will do in the future. My God. You know, be thankful for the past. You know, every probably, as far as I know, because of this morning, we had basically an altar call to be saved. And as far as I can see, nobody raised their hand. So I'm speaking to the redeemed. Redeemed of the Lord. Amen. You are the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of God. You've been saved. That's the past. That's the past. It's been done. Some of us, it's been many years ago. Some might be 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, whatever it is. Whatever it is. But we've been saved, and thank God for our past, that God in his mercy and grace came down by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And probably every one of us have probably been saved in differently somehow. Some in church services, some at your homes, some on the jobs, some wherever. Maybe you just saved by yourself. You called upon God because you needed help at the time. And God came into that truck. God came into that vehicle. God came into that home and saved your soul by the presence of Almighty God. It says, call upon me and I will answer. Call upon me and I will be there. Call upon me and I will help you. The thief on the cross, one of them, not the other, called upon God, said, remember me, Lord. That's all he said. He spent the shortest time in paradise of anyone that we know of. Because everybody went to paradise. Not heaven. Before that. When Jesus died and presented that blood, they were all brought to heaven. He spent the shortest time. He got saved upon that cross. Dying, he was a thief. And the other yo-yo on the other side was a thief too, but was cursing at our God, saying, if you're God, come down from there and show us what you can. I mean, just evil, evil, evil. Yet lost his soul with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right in the middle. People, that's just like today. Some receive and some don't. It boggles my mind. Why wouldn't you receive the King? But you see, that doesn't stop us or negate us from telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. About Jesus Christ. Not this week. I was doing mail and this lady came and I knew her, you know, and stuff. And she, I mean, you know how God just puts things together, you know. She's coming out and I'm going to give the mail and, hey, how you doing? You know, and I always ask this. I try to, because this is how I can measure where they're at. Where are you going to church? Some just have a blank. They don't. And I knew the blankness was there. And she said, I'm not going anywhere. My husband and I aren't going anywhere. So I said, oh. I said, go to church somewheres. Find a good church. Pray. They had moved away and came back and a few times, and now they're back in the area. And she said, we tried this and we tried that years ago, and it wasn't good. She said, you know, I just, you know, she said, I was saved on the Shambok. The power of Almighty God. She said, I'm looking for that Shambok spirit. Amen. She said, I'm tired of going to dead churches that don't even have altar calls. She said, I'm tired of seeing preachers stand on chairs, but yet when they get off that chair and they're out of the church, they're not living what they preach. Amen. She said, I knew someone, and this I won't say, but she said, I knew somebody that was in another church that they knew what preachers to get to their churches because they knew how to get money out of people. Because they would tell her, well, this person's come and preach. He can get a lot of money out the people. He gets big offerings. Y'all, isn't that a shame? The shenanigans that go on. Lord, help me never to get there at all. Ever. Ever. The shenanigans. That's why she said, the trust, you know. And so just got to speak, you know, I can't stay long, you know, you got to speak and you got to go, you know. I said, find a place. And I said, you know where Gaydon is. We'd love to have you. You know, you just never know what God is doing in the hearts. People are yearning to go to church. But they're yearning to go to a church where they feel and sense the presence of God. Where they feel God moving. And where they see the sincerity of the pastor. May not be perfect, but the sincerity and what God can do through the people and through what the Spirit of God wants to do in the hearts and lives. See, God is moving. God is moving people. We may look and say, well, you know, man, things are happening in the world that are just horrible. Yes, but in the midst of the horror, in the midst of the storm, God still has his birds that are chirping and singing through the rain because the Spirit of God is still moving upon the church body. Whoever wants him to move, he'll move. Whoever seeks him shall find him. The power of God will move at will because he's looking not at the name of the church on the front of the building. He could care less about that. What he looks at is the hearts of the people. Amen. The hearts and lives of the people. Saying, what can I do in them? How can I make them great? Not walking in pride and arrogance, but great in the kingdom of God. A woman or a man of God that will seek him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength to see the power of God move in their hearts and move in their lives and move in their community. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading this morning, and I was reading about Joshua. I love Joshua, people. That's probably, it has to be my favorite. I mean, they're all great men, and I mean, that's just great. But I tell you, I just keep going back to Joshua. And I was reading a scripture where it says, you know, when they were about to cross the Jordan River, and God told him in, I think it's chapter 2 or 3, the first verse, he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, get up and move. You know, God will sometimes speak to you that way. He says, when you see me move. Just trust me. And when that Ark came up and they were about to bring it into that Jordan River, they told him they had to clean themselves up spiritually and physically and be ready when that ark was about to go over the Jordan, that the waters would split. Can you imagine? They taken the Ark of the Covenant. See, God has to be first in every area of our lives. Amen. We have to say, Lord, you're first. That doesn't mean he's first in every area, but we want him to be, and that's what he looks at. Yeah. You know, there's people say, well, I'm going to clean myself up, then I'm going to go to church. Well, buddy, you're saying the cross is not enough. You can't clean yourself up. A dirty rag cannot clean and make you clean. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ who can do it. And when they started to walk into that Jordan River, he said, when you see the ark, get up. They didn't know what he would do. They saw what he did at the Red Sea. You know, they heard about it, some of them, you know. But they didn't know what he would do. And when they started to walk, Can you imagine? Two from each tribe carrying this ark. They didn't know what God would do, people. That's faith. Blind faith. Blind faith. We want seeing everything, walking in faith. Okay? But sometimes God says, I want you to walk blindly and just trust me. And as they walked into that, it just spread. Can you imagine as the people saw? Can you imagine the men that carried that ark? How they felt when they would look down and their feet was not wet. When they would look down and the bottom of the river was dry. Virtually impossible. Because when it rains, it stays wet for a while. In an instant, it should not have been dry, but it was. And then he told him in that verses, few verses later, you're going to see my wonders. People, one day, hopefully soon, we're going to see the wonders of our God. Wonders. We're going to fear him. And I'm not talking about fearing and I'm talking about a reverence. A reverence will come back to the church of the body of Christ. Can you imagine? Now, you know, I know next Sunday we're going to be eating in here. But, you know, can you imagine walking into a church and everybody's eating honey buns and drinking all kind of Cokes and drinking coffee all over the place and in church? You know, come on. What's no reverence towards our God? And hey, I'm not saying, you know, it has to. But look, reverence needs to come back to the body of Christ. Where when you walk in, that you reverence that the Holy Spirit is here. He's here working in our hearts, working in our lives. And yes, he's here too. That's where it needs to be mostly. But as we gather together, the power of God moves into a church service. Where we're at awe at the wonders of our God. Can you imagine the people as they saw what God could do? My God, they were in awe and wonders of their God. They were about to experience what they never saw before. What they saw their ancestors said about the Red Sea. They saw God do it again and again and again for them. And they were about to see something amazing when they got to the other side, because the walls of Jericho and that city was right across that sea of the Jordan River. They were looking at the children of Israel and they saw what God did. And let me tell you this, God gave them instructions. They followed the instructions. And on that last day, they worshiped God. They worshiped him with everything. The walls came tumbling down as far as pushed into the ground. That's the kind of God I want to serve. That's the kind of God you serve, people. I know struggles of life may come, but let me tell you this. God is still in control. We need to thank him for what he's done in our hearts and in our lives and what he's going to do. Never give up on your God. Never. You may have wayward children. You may have wayward grandchildren. You may have a wayward spouse as far as doesn't want anything to do with God. But let me tell you this. There's something more powerful than a wayward husband, a wayward son or daughter, a wayward friend or grandchild. And that's prayer. Before God. That will change the effects of the things upon their lives in this world. That's who we trust. Because you know what? He's coming back again one day. And can you imagine? He comes back. The rapture of the church takes place. My God, we're there for 7 years. Tribulation is having horror. Horror. Just read it in Revelation. Then one day we come back at the end when Israel is about to be annihilated. And God steps in, riding that horse coming in, and we're right behind him. Praise God. and he stops it all. Then the millennial reign comes in. My God. Then there's a bunch of stuff, but also at the end it says that the enemy is finally locked up to the end. And that was it. But it says one day the new Jerusalem is coming upon the earth. Can you imagine? God's headquarters will be upon the earth. The place that failed him. You want to know the mercy of God? Can you imagine the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven above and settling upon Jerusalem? That's where it will be. The great city. My God. John said he saw a city which had a golden throne upon it. My God. Streets of gold walked upon it. It runs with angels all over the place. And the people of God there with their God. My God, what a God we serve. They call him Jesus. They call him Alpha and Omega. They call him Emmanuel. They call him King of Kings. They call him the Light of the World. They call him the Great Morning Star. They also call him the Prince of Peace. They call him that Wonderful Counselor. They also called him the Lamb of God. They call him the Savior of the world. They also call him the Good Shepherd. They called him also the Way. They called him the Lord of Lords and the Anointed One. And they also, I like this one, the Bread of Life. You ever been to Walmart? They have a lot of bread there. They have this bread that's a dollar. If it's that bad, he said he's the Bread of Life. Get it in the house. He's the chief cornerstone, the great high priest, the holy and righteous one, the Lord of glory. He's the Messiah, the teacher, the truth, and the word of God. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah. Storms of life may come, but we still need to be thankful for what he has done in our lives. We go through times of trouble. You know, the pilgrims endured hardship. I mean, it was bad, people. About half of all the people died that first basic winter because of starvation. They froze to death. I mean, just all kinds of things. Loneliness that was there. A drought that came in the summer. But as they prayed, a gentle rain came in answer to prayer. People, God will answer your prayers. He will answer your prayers. A good harvest resulted in the first Thanksgiving. Looking up to our helper makes us a thankful people. We have many blessings, and we ought to give thanks to him. Psalms 103, if you would turn there, please. Page 979. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thanksgiving to the Lord. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He makes known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And I'll stop right here, but you can go home and read all this chapter. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them who fear him. Great is the mercy of God. I know I've had you read Psalms 139, so we need to turn there for this last one. I'm sorry about that. Be thankful to your God. Be thankful to him. For the last few Sundays, I've had you go home and read these scriptures every day. Verse 1 and 2. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Is that the... No, I'm sorry. Verse 23. I'm sorry. I knew something wasn't right. But that's okay. We read it. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Before the children of Israel saw the great opening of the Jordan River, they had to clean themselves up spiritually and physically. There were certain things. Before we'll see the power of God fully manifested upon us as a church, we got to let God search us. Let God search you. It's not an easy thing. It's not easy. But you read these scriptures every day and you give your hand. You can't really do it, but you can put your hand in his hand. And you can walk and you can say, Father, search me. Amen. Search me, Lord. Because you see, you and I, we don't want anything in us that would impede or hinder what God wants to do in us and through us. So we ask God to search us. To go into areas and shine that light up in those parts of our heart. And that's, you know, we say our heart. That's where we, you know. But there are hidden areas from our childhood, maybe. And I'm not saying we have to go and, but say, Lord, if there's anything in me that is not right with you, show me. Show me. Search me, O God. God knows anyway your heart. He knows those areas that he needs to come in and heal and help you with. He knows. And so we got to allow the Holy Spirit to search us. In us. We received him as our Lord and Savior. He lives in our lives, in our hearts. Now let the Spirit of God move and make us into what he wants us to be. And it might be having to forgive somebody. You forgive them. You might say, well, I don't feel it. I said it, but I don't feel it. That, you don't go by feelings. You go by faith in the word of God and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. That's how you live. If we live by feelings, half of us wouldn't be here today. We'd rather just... But you see, you know what's right for your soul to be in church. To be in church. Let God search you. I want you to, in this week again, read those scriptures. 23 and 24. Every day, somehow. You might say, does it have to be in the morning? You can read it more than once a day. Anytime. And you just bow your head after you read it. And you say, Lord, as you search David's heart, search my heart. Because we all want to be free, huh? We don't want no entanglements of the feet or hands spiritually in our lives. We want to be free to worship him. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But if something happens, we get with him and say, Lord, forgive me. And go on. And let the Spirit of God move in us. Stay thankful to your God. Thank God. And there's some other scriptures, but we can't get to it. Thank God in all circumstances, in everything we do. We just thank him. And also, I know Thanksgiving is Thursday, and I pray you have a great day. I hope you have so much to eat that you have leftovers for a little while. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's the blessings of the Lord. It says our cup runneth over with his blessings. But I pray you have a great Thanksgiving. From Jelaine and I, we pray everything goes well. You meet with your family, your friends, wherever you're going, whatever it is, and show the love of God to these people, because they need to see you as a Christian, and they need what you have. You may not think so, but they need it. And so just be an open book to them. Love them. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Forgive and go on, people. Forgive and go on. And let God work and move in your heart. But I pray you have a great Thanksgiving, that everything goes well. Eat all the turkey you want. Eat all the pork roast you want and everything else, from cake to candy to whatever else you got. So also don't forget, next Sunday we're having our Christmas dinner. And you might say, why is it so close? Because there was always something on whatever Sundays, and so we had to, it's like, this is the only day, okay. So invite friends and family to come. We love to have them. Love to have them. If you're able to sign the paper on the back table, please do so. If you're able to bring a dessert, thank you. If you cannot bring something, don't worry about it. And don't feel bad, okay? Just come and enjoy and be in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, okay? Amen.